Thanks for tuning in to Faith Church Podcast. We're a church that believes in getting people connected, seeing families grow, and lives being changed. We hope that this message will speak to you today. It was all in our hearts, and I believe you're going to love it. Let's get to it.
Welcome to He Said, She Said, and now y'all get it together with us, and it is We Said, and we're going to deal with all the funk, the issues, and the junk together. So this says, after 20 years of marriage, how do we get in the mood?
The mood.
After juggling work, kids, activities, everyday life. So there's a lot of questions real similar to how do we get in the mood or how do we juggle, how do we balance. Here's one that says, I have a successful career, make good money, long hours, huge problem in my relationship, have two kids. How do I balance being with family?
It's hard to be in the mood with all that going on.
But also have the career. Trying to provide us a great life, how do I make it work? Which balances with one more question. There's a bunch of them, but this one says, my wife and I are worship pastors from Orange County, California, tuning in online right now.
Come on, give it up for Orange County. Come on, somebody. Beautiful there today.
I wanted to ask, how do you balance family time, making sure kids get enough mom and dad time, feel like we're always going strong, and I feel bad. So this is like tons riding on this question.
That's a boatload of questions. Okay, so let's do the pastor thing first, okay? Being a pastor, a lot of pastors are watching.
Or just a lot of work.
I don't have a church life and a home life. I just have a life. And so I've always taken my kids, even my, this is a blended family as well. Austin was 7 when I got him. And he said, I want to be a priester because he didn't know if I was a priest or a preacher. So he said, priester. Is that hilarious? So guess what? Today in West Palm Beach, Florida, he is a priester. Come on, give it up for Austin. Because I don't believe in two lives, okay? I believe in one big life,
so
all right?
So if you have a family business and your church life, this still works in two.
Yep. And then the other thing I think that happens a lot is that, back to the work thing, some people they're driven. So it's like I'm motivated by, you know, checking that box. So a lot of times, also people that are very, very motivated, sometimes there's a reason why they're motivated. It's because maybe they had something to prove to their mom or dad. Anybody in here got daddy issues? Come on, say amen. It should be everybody. Everybody got mommy issues, because whenever there's humans trying to make us and mold us and who we are, there's going to be some issues. So now you check that money box and that career box, and the issue always falls in to where it's like, now I'm going to get a relationship box. So then we get the relationship. We go, check, that's done. You cannot do that. If you want this relationship to stay full, you have to keep making deposits. So you have to say, hey, I'm going to really focus on him or her when I'm with them, and I'm going to make sure that they feel like they're the most important thing in the world. Because if people don't feel like they're very important to you, or something else is more important, even the phone. Anybody guilty of this? Come on, raise your hand. Anybody like me, and you all go to dinner, and you look down, and there's the phone? So invest in that relationship.
And then the Bible says, I think it's a Message translation that says, practice playing second fiddle. So a lot of times you have to put yourself in the other person's shoes. So if you know you work a lot, what I love is how in touch this one person is with themselves. I know I work a lot. I know that's my thing. And I know in this family too, I'm struggling to make sure I prioritize them. I say that they've got a leg up on a lot of folks who aren't even cognizant, or they don't care. This person knows it and they care. So it means you're trying. So I think trying goes a long way. And so if you're the other person in these trying relationships, I think you have to give your spouse credit for the fact that they are aware and they are trying. They might not do everything right isn't even like a consideration. They're not going to do everything right, right? How many of you yourself did not do everything right for yourself yesterday? Say amen.
Amen.
So we're definitely not going to do everything right according to somebody else, right? So we can't expect somebody else to do everything right, because we don't even do everything right for ourselves. Ready for another question?
Yep, I'm ready.
Okay, I'm going to blend a couple of these together. I love this one because this one says, and I'm going to jump into another one. Every girl wants their man to bring them roses just because it's Wednesday. I've never gotten Wednesday roses. But I want to do the same for my man.
I had a funny look on my face. Did I have a funny look on my face? Because I was thinking, she probably has, because I've pretty much given her roses every day that isn't why.
Aww.
But, you know, it doesn't matter.
Emotions are showing. But no, so let's just pause right here because this is a real thing. Like guys, we think guys are like tough and like they don't feel and they're just rah, rah, rah. But guys have feelings. Guys, if this is true, say amen.
Amen.
And they might not think of everything, but they care. So honey, I'm sorry.
Oh no, it's no big deal. It's not a big deal at all.
I want to keep getting roses, oh, yeah. And so, obviously yeah. I need to pay better attention.
Obviously.
Thank you. So anyway, but I want to do the same for my man. What are the roses, metaphorically, that a man wants just because it's Wednesday?
Golf.
Men, can you golf?
He said golf.
He's the one interesting guy, but every other yeah. man in the building, your roses are...
Sex.
There were a few brave souls.
I'm hearing stuff. It reminds me of the old guy who's walking along. He sees a talking frog. Picks up the talking frog. The frog says, if you kiss me, I'll turn into a beautiful princess. And he said, at my age, I'd rather have a talking frog and put it in his pocket. That guy's like, golf.
So... most men are interested in more sex. So if, which leads to this other question, it says, I want to be more, this is from a woman, obviously, I want to be more than a sex object. I hate when my husband comes home and the first thing he does is grab my booty. I tell him, stop that.
A lot of
that.
Single ladies are like, oh my God, who are you, Beyonce?
Okay, so we have to pause and go into the Beyonce question because he just said Beyonce. There is literally a Beyonce question, so pause that. Is it okay to look at the TV and says, oh, she looks so good if it's Beyonce on TV? Or if you're watching a movie, is it good, okay
no.
to say, oh, he looks so good no. if it's Denzel?
No. No.
It is okay to say, babe, she's trying to look like you, but she's never going to pull it off.
That works. Come on, somebody. That's wisdom right there. She's dropping bombs. Somebody ought to say amen.
All right. So grabbing booty. I tell him, stop that. I like to be appreciated and not feel like a sex object.
I feel you, girl. I feel you. I so feel you.
How can I help my husband understand how I feel or for me to learn how to deal with his grabby hands? Because it's an all-day thing.
This man is in love with you. Single girls are like, oh, you make me sick, girl. I've been praying for a man to grab me, and you're griping about a man grabbing you. Where your man at? I'll let him grab me right now. Okay. I didn't mean it.
Yes, yes, he did.
Okay, this really goes to love languages, okay? What it is his love language is physical touch. You got to find out what, you know, the person's love language is. In fact, Nicole this morning, she brought me because my voice is all ripped up because we had a revival all week and I preached my brains out. My voice is gone. So she brings me up a green smoothie. She brings me up tea. She brings me up a multiple a Congaplex, vitamin C, D, oregano from my chest, another thieves oil. She's oiling me down. She's bringing all this stuff up. She's like, I spilled some of your tea because I was carrying so much stuff upstairs. What this is?
Do you
is,
know how many points he's getting right now because he realizes what I did for him?
I'm not saying Beyonce's hot. Come on, somebody ought to say amen right now. You ain't going home with Beyonce. You're going home with Nicole. Come on, somebody ought to shout amen.
When so, you're acts of service, this conversation turns you on.
So acts of service. So I understand it. So what I try to do, what's happening is if I try to give her what I want instead of giving her what she needs, then she's always depleted. And this is why you need to go to Growth Track. If for no other reasons, we teach you the five love languages. So mine's physical touch. So my whole life, I've always been this kind of guy. You know, oh, hey, baby, I love you. And not necessarily in a sexual way. However, how
I'm going to be honest, he usually doesn't touch my shoulder.
She's right. Come on, somebody ought to say amen. So I'm a physical touch. So with her, she's learned to come over. Come here, sit on my lap for a minute.
And so when I say hi to him, it's not like, hey, baby, how was your day? Because this is how it was at the beginning of our relationship. Hey, baby, how was your day? I might even help him. Back when we first got married, I would help you take your shoes off sometimes.
Yeah.
And so I would take his shoes off. I would hang his jacket up. I would put his stuff away. And he'd be like,
like, all my suits were laid out with the ties. Everything was matched. She's crazy like that. I'm like, I don't even know if I want to wear that. Mm-hmm. But she was just, she's acts of service.
And so he'd be like, looking at me like, where are you? Where are you? Where are you? And I was very busy taking care of him, showing him that I loved him. But what he wanted, because there's five love languages, and that's quality time, acts of service, words of affirmation, receiving gifts, and his primary, physical touch.
Especially after 10 o'clock at night. Get over here, girl. You're driving me crazy. Sit on my lap. The tension is building in here. Don't make me call Beyonce right now.
So he's physical touch and words of affirmation right after that. So now what I have to do for him is I have to do, baby, how was your day?
Yeah, she'll be like, you're so smart. You're so good.
You look good.
You print so good.
You
she's
did. Such a great
like,
job.
You know, that's what I needed.
And
I really like
your hair today,
thank
too.
You.
It looks fantastic. You did a great job.
Thank me and Hans Wyman and Rogaine. It's just unbelievable what God has done in my life.
So if I didn't put any of his stuff away, this is how he feels love.
And if I'm trying to love her with this, doesn't mean jack to her. Mm-hmm. But
I'm sitting here thinking, I really need to get up and make you dinner.
Right. So make sure you're doing that. So with her, I'm like, okay, if I unload the dishwasher, no man has ever been shot washing dishes. Come on, somebody ought to say amen. And I'll make breakfast. I'll do stuff. Not because I don't even think I'm filling my, I think, how could this possibly be filling her love tank? But it totally is. So you've got to figure out what that person needs. Not what you need, but what they need for you. Because there's nothing worse than trying to give somebody something you need instead of the specific thing that they need. And everybody's personality is just as unique as a thumbprint. There's a certain thing that actually pulls the lever and pushes the button. And you've got to figure that out if you want to have a happy life and happy marriage and relationships.
Woo, come on, that's so good.
Mm-hmm.
I love watching everybody looking at each other going, that's a lot of fun. If you
want to
know...
Your hair smells good, by the way.
Do you like that?
It's nice.
Hey, you know what? Later, if you want to smell it a little closer.
Oh, no, come on, that's too much. My God, she's just buck wild.
And you know, if you want to know more about the love languages, the book is in the source, or you should get together in an iConnect group in the next session that's coming up. You should spend the next 6 weeks together reading through the love language book, taking the little profile. Actually, if you apply for a job at the church, to apply for the job, we even have you take that. So as a staff member, we know how to relate to you because we can only relate to people in the language that they speak. So iConnects are a great place to figure out more about the love languages.
Next question, Vanna White.
Okay, let's see what's going on here. Let's see. This just in. That's a heavy one.
Give it to me. I'll try and see what happens.
So this is going to be blended family stuff. How do you respond to a wife who wants to divorce you because you have a disrespectful teen from a previous marriage? Which I was just reading another question over here about we don't discipline the children from each side of the marriage and the blended family the same. How do you get those disciplinary actions together? And there was another question about how do you make two families one family when everybody's got their own personalities? Okay. That's a lot of fun.
All right, so let's go. Malachi 2, verse 16 says, for God says, I hate divorce, says the Lord. I hate divorce. God doesn't hate the divorcee, but he hates divorce. But anytime you think there's an option to divorce a person due to the fact that you have an adolescent at home, it's wrong. You need to say, this is driving me crazy, but we're going through this season together. And you know what? I'm like the Lord. I'll never leave you or forsake you. The only reason why the Bible gives us reason for divorce is through, adultery. So for you, you'll have to go have sex with Beyonce for me to leave you. Come on, somebody, because I'm sticking with you no matter what. I love you. I don't love the way you're handling Bubba, but Bubba's not going to keep me from loving you. Somebody ought to say amen to this deal.
Amen.
Because God hates divorce. He doesn't hate divorced people because Nicole and I have been divorced, but he hates divorce. And if people need security, everybody shout security.
Security.
My kids, my wife, my church. I'm all about putting security in you guys all the time. You'll hear me say stuff like this. See if you've heard this. I'm telling you right now, I'm pastor here the rest of my life. There's only two places I'm going. It's St. Louis and West Palm Beach. I'm going to get so old that I'll tell a story that I'll forget that I told it, but you'll be so old you'll forget and you'll laugh again. What am I doing? Security. I'm staying with you. I'll tell you one thing. I'm going to be really old pastor in this church till Jesus comes. I've only been at one church my whole life and I'm not leaving this church. What am I doing? Security. I'm letting you guys know you might have came from a church where the guy every 3 to 5 years got fired by a demon board, but we don't have that kind of board. Our board is set up with preachers that have big churches of their own. They don't want mine. Somebody ought to say amen. And I'm never going to sleep with the piano player because he's a guy. Come on, somebody. So commitment. When you get that communication, some guys back there. When you get that commitment right to each other, it gets rid of that. And then the communication, the commitment, the communication, you definitely have to communicate to say, hey, this kid's driving me crazy. And watch how, make sure if you do have a teenager, make sure that they are respectful towards your significant other. Make sure the significant other, you're not touchy towards it. Right. Realize that this person might be going through some things. But the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and he will use a teenager to try to destroy your marriage. And you need to say, if I got to send you to a special farm for kids like you, I'm not leaving mom. Come on, somebody ought to say amen to that.
Yeah, teenagers are tough, but blended families can be really tricky, but that's why we had a lot of questions about dating and how long do we date and how do we date and how do I get back into dating. We had women texting in their phone number for Jeff because he announced he was single. I'm not passing that information
on.
You
can't spell. It's not a big deal.
You're going to have to go give him your number yourself. But if you do, so let's just pause right there on being single and going back into that. But if you're looking for a guy, if you're looking for a girl, a great place to find somebody like that is in church. So get into an iConnect. Get into Growth Track. Don't run into church last minute and run out as soon as it's over. Hang out in the portico, in the coffee shop. Grab a cup of coffee. Find yourself friendly. Be nice to people. Sorry?
Those are the marriages that last. Scott and Jennifer, yell out to me real loud. How long have you guys been married? Yell loud. Jennifer, you know this. 34 years. It's not even possible.
Girl, you only look 34.
34 years. Come on, give it up. 34 years. He was my drummer before, when I was a worship pastor as a kid for my dad. He was my drummer. They dated each other. They met at church in a small group. They started dating all the time. Scott had a Bobo truck, but he like painted it and it was cool. It was kind of a hot rod job. And Doug, you remember this. And he was Jennifer, Jennifer, Jennifer. When you get in Scott's truck, there was the speedometer and there was a picture of Jennifer. Now, this is the 80s, so Jennifer's hair took up the whole speedometer. Come
just
on, remember
the
80s?
Record.
And it was huge hair.
Scott's getting so many points
Scott's telling the story
about the picture of Jennifer on the dashboard.
I love Jennifer. I love Jennifer. And then they got married. They met at church. 34 years later, same woman, same church, same pastor. It's called commitment. Somebody ought to shout amen. Some people running from bed to bed, church to church. Find something and stick with it, even when it's good and it's bad. Stay.
Why don't you stay? That's one of my favorite songs. I love that song. But so single people, so they ask all these questions about dating. So how long should we date? And we always recommend that you date somebody for a complete calendar year because you need to know how they act during football season, how they lose their mind during Christmas, how they run around in a thong bikini during summertime and they didn't know all your friends were going to see all they got. Or it could be. I've seen. Instagram opens your eyes to a lot of things. Sometimes you follow people and you get to a certain season of life, you're like, unfollow. I did not need to know all that about you. So you just need to date. We always say date somebody all year long. Wait till you get through every season so that you can see where they act, what points of their life are sensitive, they hurt, they have all these different things that they love. Find out when their passion comes out and then find out how you deal with them being passionate about something else besides you for a certain season and if you can resonate with that and you can live with it. Because here's a statement. You can't marry somebody planning on changing them.
No. You can't change yourself. How many of y'all know you can't change yourself? So how are you going to change them? I promise I'm going to lose weight, but it's usually when I'm full. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Like, I'm not eating again today. Raise your hand right now. You're like, I'm done. I've got willpower. And then 11 o'clock at night, I'm like, I got to have some Doritos or I'm going to die. The Proverbs 18:22, write this down. Proverbs 18:22, find a good spouse, you find a good life. And even more, the favor of God.
Yeah.
The King James says, he that findeth a wife, findeth a good thing, and obtaineth favor from the Lord. So when you find a husband or find a wife, then it's also something that God gives you. The right person makes a big difference. And you can't find the right person at the wrong place. If you're going to the wrong place to find the right person, you may get what you want, but you might not want what you get because it's superficial. You go into a club and you're like, she's hot or he's hot. They might be bound by all kinds of demonic activity. I know it's crazy. I'm talking churchy right now. They might have some addictions that are beyond the control their control. And so now if they're perverted in their mind and they're not in the house of God going the same path, it might be fun for a season, but it doesn't work for a lifetime because the Bible says don't be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. And I even go a step further if you're sons and daughters of this house. Just because they're a Christian doesn't mean they're a believer like you're a believer. They're different kind of believers. Like, I believe it's my banner year. Some people's like, I don't believe that. I believe that God wants to bless me coming in and coming out. You never know what God's going to do. You can't say that about God. See what I'm saying? Yeah. So you got to make sure over a period of time that you're in a small group, that you're with people that see it like you see it. Because Nicole, when I met her, she was Baptist, and she had some revelation, but she didn't have the revelation that she does today, but she was open to it. But now we're equally yoked. She's a wild Holy Ghost, faith preaching, tongue talking. Somebody ought to shout amen. Freaky deaky woman. Somebody ought to shout amen in this right now. I need somebody crazy. These people over here, I like them.
I know.
I love this chair too, like, by the way. I'll see you guys later. These are my people over here right now.
So I'm going to ask like three questions because there's just so many like this, and this takes a couple different turns. How do you get your significant other to follow Christ? How do you handle your spouse announcing after 10 years of marriage they no longer believe in God and doesn't want your children in church? Should a couple split if they are unequally yoked? If not, what would be a healthy way to go deeper spiritually together?
Well, I want to answer that with 1 Corinthians 7:15. It says, but if an unbeliever leaves, let it be so. Mm-hmm. Sometimes there's two sides of this. Sometimes people will say they're atheists just to keep you from bugging them about going to church. They're just like, I got an idea. I don't believe in God. I don't believe in half of that. I think a lot of times especially, I see it more so with women. It could be men too, but more so. Women are more sensitive to God, so they usually figure it out before guys do. So they're actually going to church and they're like, I got to change Bob. You can't change Bob. You got to change you. And the Bible said that your unsaved loved one will be won over with the love of God that's in your heart. So that means if you come home from church, that's when you're the nicest. You're intentional.
Yeah.
You come home and you're like, man, I want to, hey, I love it that you're watching football.
You stop by his favorite restaurant on the way home. You go home and you make his favorite meal. You go home and you're like, you know what? You got the game on. Can I rub your feet? Instead of coming home and being like, the whole time I was gone, you didn't clean this house up, and going home and reading him the riot act. That's not the way to win him over. We have to remember we're playing the long game here, and our enemy in this situation is actually the enemy. So in 1 Peter 3, verse 1 and 2, it says, wives, we have to submit to the authority of our husband. So it's like 51:49. So how does that work? Well, it goes on to say, even if they refuse to obey the good news, your godly lives will speak to them even without any words. You know, Pastor Dave always says, you get what you brag on, not what you nag on. Why don't you go to church with me? This would just be better if you go to church with me. Well, Bob goes to church with Shaquita. Why don't you go to... That doesn't make Bob want to do anything. But you have to just make it fun. You say, you never believe what the preacher said today. He said that wives should sleep with their husbands. He's like, huh? I think I like that guy. What else did he say? I don't know. You want to go upstairs? Yeah. Well, let's obey the preacher, baby. Come on. Suddenly he's interested in church.
Unless you're this guy, and then you're like, honey, I want to go golfing with you. And that's great.
The end of that scripture says in 1 Peter 3, 2, it says, they will be won over by observing your pure and reverent lives. So the easy thing to do would be try to push them where we want them. The hard thing to do would be leading the way we want them to follow. And if we want them to follow in a godly lifestyle, we have to actually lead a godly lifestyle, not lead a nagging lifestyle.
I think, too, this is so important for kids to hear. I'm talking all people right now. Raise your kids in a church like this that tackles real life issues. It's not just going to church for religious reasons, and I'm going to take communion, I'm going to sing songs and worship Jesus. That's awesome, and that's great. We should do all that. But these are the kind of real questions that people are asking on Monday, and we're tackling them on Sunday. And you ought to be grateful for that. Somebody say amen to this.
Yeah.
And you should bring your kids here, because what I watch is the enemy is attacking marriage like never before, because they try to make fun of marriage. And some guy, you know, they'll say something silly like, you know, how's your sex life? And they're like, are you kidding? I'm married. There is no sex. That's what he's selling. And then these two people get together and they just met at a bar and they have this romantic, passionate, lovemaking scene in a movie. That is the enemy painting something that's not real. What the enemy's trying to do, you ought to write this down, he's trying to trade intimacy. He's interchanging those for images. So this is where porn comes in. Intimacy is gone and images take over. People are having sex with an iPhone. This is ridiculous. When you really should love one another instead of going to these sites that cause intimacy to be broken. And you all of a sudden, if you don't do those things, if you make a complete dedication to God that, you know what, I'm not going down that path anymore, then all of a sudden you will get really interested in being nice to your wife. Somebody ought to shout amen. You're like, I need to be nice to you. Did it get really quiet, or
it
is just really quiet?
Like, nice to your wife was obviously revolutionary.
Well, I think it's important that we understand that, you know, you got to be good friends first. Talking to young people for a minute, you can't just go out with the intentions of I'm going to get married. It needs to be, we need to be good friends. Nicole and I were good friends before we were married. That's why we're still good friends. She's my best friend in the whole world. So
because
make sure that
you expect a woman to submit to you, because a minute ago in that scripture it says that wives submit to your husbands. Guys, you're the 51, we're the 49. You get the one deciding vote. But guys, we gave you the one deciding vote. You see, when we were 50-50, we got to decide whether or not we trust you with the deciding vote. So, girls, that's why you got to be with him all year long before we marry him. Or that's why you have to wait until they ask to be sure that you really want to say, do I trust you to look out for me and give you my vote? Because if the answer is, I don't know, the answer is, if you don't know, don't go. Because you can't trust that joker with the deciding vote. So the guys get the deciding vote, but guys, you need to know, you might get the deciding vote, you're the head, but we women are the neck. And we're going to help you know where to look and where not to look. And we get a say, and we get to talk about it. And two, guys, if you're like, well, I'm the head of the house, that's kind of like, you know, why don't you go to church with me, Bob? That line's not going to get you very far.
Well, if you make dumb decisions, I think credibility is big, real big. The more right decisions you make in life, the more successful you're going to be. Yeah. The more wrong decisions, everybody's going to doubt you. So a lot of the ministry even has been based on good, sound decisions, and it's given us a lot. It's given me a lot of leadership credibility. And so you are going to make mistakes. I make mistakes. We all do. I think you should encourage your husband and pray for your husband. Pray that God gives him wisdom. And then I think husbands, don't allow pride to stop you. I mean, Rhea will tell you, stand up, Rhea. Rhea, vote yes if this is true. Do I all the time tell the whole staff, I was wrong, I'm sorry, this wasn't right? I do it, thank you, Rhea. I do it intentionally because I want our staff to have a culture of saying, I was wrong. Most people say, I wasn't wrong. I was wrong once, but then after further investigation, I was wrong. I wasn't wrong. Now, the quickest way to make people love you and for people to really idolize you and want to follow your leadership is saying, man, I was just totally wrong. The words I'm sorry and meaning it make a huge difference. So pray for your husbands, one. And then two, husbands, realize that it is a huge responsibility to be the head of the house, and you're actually modeling this behavior for your kids. Your kids will be what you are. Mm-hmm. So my dad was a wild, drunken, partying mess. I mean, he would come home sometimes and just shoot bullets through the wall. Bam, 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 bam. He was a cop and had an alcohol problem. So he went Vietnam training, a lot of anger. So he woke up one day when his finger was all bloody. It was blood all the way up the steps, got out of his Corvette, punched through the glass. And he said he felt in his heart that God told him, this is exactly what your baby will be. He was holding me. Mm-hmm. He said, if you're a drunken alcoholic with anger, he'll be. But if you will give your life to Jesus and you will preach the gospel, he will do that. And guess what? Here I am. This is my 50th year, and I'm not a drunken alcoholic. I'm a preacher. Come on, somebody.
How many of you guys, this was okay for today, and it helps with your relationships?
Thanks for joining us on our podcast today. We certainly hope it spoke to you in the same way it was speaking to us. If you enjoyed this message today, there's a few things I like to encourage you to do. First of all, subscribing to it. It's really easy to get these Faith Church sermons sent straight to your phone with a notification as soon as they're ready. I mean, you want that, right? Secondly, by sharing with a friend on social media, just like you might share a sale or some great restaurant, we're looking for you to share it with your friends. You never know in your network of friends who really needs this message today. And lastly, before you go, if you'll rate and review this on iTunes, it'll really help us expand our reach, help more people globally. Each time there's a positive rating, this really helps push us in front of more people. So that's what I want you to do. And if you live in the St. Louis area or West Palm Beach, come out and see us at our physical locations. If you don't, make sure you tune in to our church online. It's a real campus at faithchurch.com.